Next is the gospel reading from St. Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Here ends the text. Notice our Christmas trees, not a strand of tinsel on any of them. Not all of you have tinsel on your trees at home. That's okay. A Christmas tree is still a Christmas tree without the tinsel. Tinsel is an extra. It's a nicety. It's not a necessity. It's an add-on. It's not a component part. The virgin birth is becoming tinsel to the Christmas story. The world may sing, "Round yon virgin, mother and child," but only a fraction believes it. Stores ring now with offspring of a virgin's womb, but not many shoppers know, much less care, what that means. And while millions are going to gather on Christmas Eve to sing, "To be born of a virgin he doth not despise," millions more do despise the idea that a virgin gave birth. To them, the virgin birth is just tinsel on the Christmas story. Regarding the virgin birth as just tinsel, that has a long history. Only 170 years after the birth of Jesus, some denied it. But they weren't considered Christians. That has changed. In the early 1900s, leaders from within the church began to teach that the doctrine of the virgin birth was religiously valueless. Disagreement over the virgin birth is what first split American Christianity into liberal and conservative. The conservatives taught the virgin birth was necessary. The liberals taught it was just tinsel. The attacks on the virgin birth haven't changed much over the years. Some say it's a pious story made up at the time because it was popular then to say that great people were born of virgins. Julius Caesar, born 100 years before Jesus, and Alexander the Great, born 300 years before Jesus, were both said to be born of virgins. A virgin birth is tinsel. It's just a way to dress Jesus up to make him more attractive. Another way the virgin birth is denied is saying the church made up the story because Jesus' birth was embarrassing. Jesus was the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier, or of Joseph, or of some unknown man. The virgin birth is tinsel put on to hide these imperfections. Finally, the doctrine is denied today by saying, hey, it wasn't even a miracle. Since by artificial insemination we can cause a virgin to conceive today, a virgin birth is just tinsel. It isn't really special, it just appears to be. Why do I tell you all this? Because you're going to be confronted with it if you haven't been already. You're going to hear from scholars, from theologians, and from famous pastors who are very intelligent, erudite, dynamic, and convincing. You'll think, poor backward Pastor Harris just didn't have the education to know about these new teachings. He didn't know what the latest scholarship of Dr. Marcus Borg or Dr. John Spong said. Borg said, and I'm quoting, "To me, as to many Bible scholars, the birth story seems to be symbolic narratives and not historical reports. I am one of those Christians who does not believe in the virgin birth. Yet I find these stories to be powerful and truthful, and I have no difficulty preaching sermons on them." Spong describes himself, quote, as a Bible-believing Christian. In his book, Born of a Woman, he writes that the virgin birth has been used as a weapon to oppress women. Not only wasn't Mary a virgin, but she may have conceived through rape. These are 1990s deniers of the virgin birth. But already in 1953, William Barclay said, "The church does not insist we believe in this doctrine." The world runs after men like these, and we're setting up our own kids to run right along with them. We're not teaching our kids in the home that Jesus was born of a virgin. We're sure we confess that each Sunday in the creeds, but if we don't teach them that at home, they're not going to learn it. I know it's embarrassing to talk about such things. Start when your kids are toddlers and there is no embarrassment. But it's too difficult to explain, you say. Sure it is. Who can explain a miracle? You don't explain miracles. You teach them. Teach kids that Jesus had no human father. Mary got a baby in her tummy by the power of the Holy Spirit. She didn't get pregnant like other women do, but by a miracle, the Son of God came into her belly. The virgin birth is not just tinsel. You cannot leave this out of the story. You can leave out Rudolph, trees, stockings, mistletoe, even the big red one, and still have Christmas. But you can't leave out the virgin birth. If you leave out the virgin birth, either God or man is left out of the manger. And unless both are in there, there is no salvation there either. If the second person of the Holy Trinity did not come into this world through a virgin's womb, then the Son of God did not become the Son of Man. Then he only took on human form. He looked like a man. He talked like a man. But so do angels when they take on human form. And they aren't really human beings. If Jesus wasn't really human, then he couldn't really take our place under God's laws. The laws of God, they don't apply to God himself. Whatever God wants to do, well, that's lawful. The law needed to be fulfilled by God, not by God, but by man. If Jesus wasn't really human, then he wasn't really subject to the law of God. It didn't really apply to him. So he couldn't have kept it in our place. Without a virgin birth, God's law is still on your back, and it must be kept perfectly by you before you can go to heaven. The same is true for the punishments the law demands for breaking it. If God didn't really take on flesh and blood in a virgin's womb, how could he suffer and die for sins? Apart from the Virgin Mary's womb, God cannot suffer and die. God is immune to these because God is life itself. If God could suddenly suffer and die, then he would cease to be God, no less than if he ceased to be omniscient or omnipotent. So if God did not become a real human through a virgin's womb, God couldn't really suffer and die for sins. He could only appear to suffer and die. But if there wasn't real suffering and dying in our place, then we still have to face both to pay for our sins. There's no less a problem if you deny the virgin birth the other way by saying that Jesus had a human father. Then Jesus can't be God. If Jesus had a human father, then he was born after the likeness of Adam, as all men are. Also born are sinners in need of salvation. If Jesus had a human father, he too needed saving and could save no one himself. Even if Jesus was a perfect man through a miracle of God's grace, that still wouldn't be enough. A perfect man could have taken our place under the law, but in order to be kept perfectly, he needed to be God. He couldn't keep the law perfectly if he was just a man. We saw in Eden that perfect men and women were no match for the devil. He easily defeated them in their perfection. Jesus had to be more than a man then in order to keep the law perfectly in the face of demonic temptation. He had to be God. If Jesus was not God, what could his blood shed on the cross cleanse or pay for? An ordinary man's blood cleans nothing. And what about his suffering and death? Plenty of people suffer and die every day. All that suffering and dying doesn't pay for anyone's sins or satisfy God's wrath even a little. If it was not God's blood shed on Calvary, if it wasn't God suffering and dying there in the person of Jesus, then your sins, my sins, the world's sins are still laying exposed and stinking to high heaven. If it was not God who died at Calvary for sin, then God is still angry because of our sins, and you and I still have to die because of them. Finally, if there is no virgin birth, there are no sacraments either. If the virgin birth is just tinsel, then the sacraments are just tinsel too. Then there is no point in bringing babies to baptism or ourselves to absolution or the Lord's Supper. We can't continue to say to babies, "Receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon the head and upon the heart, in token that thou hast been redeemed by Christ the Crucified." If the Virgin Mary did not carry God in her womb, then God was not in there redeeming little babies. And baptism could not be for them because salvation isn't. As an early church father said, "For that which he has not assumed, he has not redeemed." God, however, was there. He did assume the flesh and blood of a baby in the womb. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. That's what the angel told Joseph. She conceived by the Holy Spirit coming upon her and the power of the Most High overshadowing her. That's what Gabriel told Mary. That means from zygote to blastocyst to embryo to fetus, Jesus the God-man was bearing our sinfulness, redeeming our little ones. Right then and there in the womb, Jesus started. We bring our newborn babies to baptism confident that salvation belongs to them too. And if a virgin did not conceive God in flesh and blood in her womb, what power could there be in absolution? Without God really becoming man, no word of man would ever be the word of God. But with the word of God becoming man, the words of men are empowered to be the words of God. So much so that Jesus can promise, "Whatever your words forgive on earth is forgiven before God in heaven." Communion also depends on a virgin birth. If God didn't really take on flesh and blood in the womb of the Virgin Mary, what could he be giving to us today? Not his body, not his blood, not the forgiveness he won with them either. But God did become incarnate by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. God was made man, and this man who is God gives to us men the very same body and blood he got through the Virgin Mary. God prepared a body for him through Mary's womb. A body and blood that could be given, could be shed, could be ate, and could be drank. The virgin birth is not just tinsel. It's the very tree. There is no Christmas without it. The word Christmas is a contraction of the words Christ and Mass. Mass is the ancient name for communion. As we saw, you can't have a real communion with God's flesh and blood apart from the virgin birth. So you can't really have Christ Mass. You can't really have Christmas. Where's the reason for sinners to put up special trees, let alone decorate them with tinsel, without a virgin birth? Without a virgin birth, Christmas is a celebration of the birth of a first century Jew who died a very long time ago. But the virgin birth means Christmas is a celebration of Emmanuel, of God with us, in flesh and blood forever. So put up the trees, bring out the tinsel, and let's celebrate Christ Mass. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.